pasuk starts off in Parak Yud Aleph Pasuk Aleph, the beginning of Shvi in the sixth parsha. Noach Tavshanayin Dalet. It says Vayikol Haaretz Sapa Achas Ufarim Achadim. Everybody speaking the same language, a few words. But even also Miketim, when they travel from the east, Vayimsu Bika Beretz Shinar, they found a valley in the land of Shinar, Vayeshu Sham, and they sat there in that valley. Each man said to their friend, let's make bricks. And Israel is grateful to burn down the bricks into mortar. And the bricks became very hard, right? And the mortar became very strong. We're going to build up a city and a tower, and the head of this tower is going to go all the way to the heavens. And that's the one who shame. We'll make for ourselves a good name. We don't want everybody scattered throughout all the land. God went down to go see the city and the tower that the people had made. They're the same people. They have one language. And this is what they're doing. Doesn't say what it is. Now they're not going to keep away everything they plotted to do. Anything they want to do, they're going to do. Let's go down, he said to the Malachim. Let's knock out their language. So that one man will not be able to understand the other. Hashem scattered them throughout the lands. And they stopped building the city. That's why we call the city, the land, Bavel. Ki sham bolal Hashem svas kol aretz. Hashem mixed up the languages of all the land there. Misham afitzam Hashem al pnei kol aretz. And from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered them throughout the entire land. That is the story that the Torah gives us regarding the Migdal Bavel. Here we go. When the people first came up with the idea of building up a tower and get everyone together, it seemed to be a great idea. And great men were involved. Noach, Shem, and Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu at the time was 52. They were all highly involved in building up this tower. They all wanted to be involved with it, according to the Seder Adoros and the Ibn Ezra. But soon after that, they made a king. The king's name was Nimrod. The Sforno says this is when he became king. And he turned it into a bit of a rebellion. At that point, the Miyamloi, they started to laugh at Avram Avinu. They started to laugh at him and everyone like him, saying that God clearly doesn't care about little creatures like ourselves, doesn't care about us, doesn't pay attention to us at all. So Mita Kenegan Mita, God judges you according to where you are, right? Hashem allowed their work to go quicker than they had planned. They started making bricks and all of a sudden two bricks came out. They tried to make mortar and doubled the amount of mortar that they expected started to come out, and they still did not notice a thing. The people didn't notice anything. They didn't realize that God was literally making everything very, very successful very, very quickly. The people mourned if a brick fell off the top tower and started landing on the ground. They mourned it because it took so long to get the bricks all the way that high. But when people fell off the towers, they shrugged their shoulders. They didn't care about it whatsoever. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld said they specifically used bricks and sticks, but not sticks and stones, because those are natural. Bricks are man-made. They didn't want to have anything that was made by God. They only wanted things that they themselves created, and that's that.
It's made from natural material.
Yeah, but it's something that they formed with their own hands, so to speak. So much so, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that these guys were so evil that they have no chelik in Olam Haba. None of them have a chelik in Olam Haba. So the question is, what exactly did they do? What happened to them? And they got destroyed, obviously. So what exactly did they do? So the Gemara says, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Adav Kuf says, it says that they didn't want another mabul to happen to them. They wanted to go to the heavens and knock on it with hammers to get rid of all the water that's in the heavens, so all the water would fall out, so they'd never have a mabul ever again, and they would be able to live in peace. That's what the Gemara says. There were three groups among them. The first said, let's go up and live there, so that they wouldn't have to worry about the flood. Those people that said that, they were scattered throughout the whole world. The second group, yeah?
Because obviously, if God makes a mabul, he has a limited amount of water.
Well, that's what they... their idea was. The second said, let's go up and worship idols in front of God. Since the Mabul was a punishment for the people stealing from one another, we won't do so. We'll go up there and we'll do our own thing in front of God, and we'll be okay in front of God. They were the ones who lost their language and they couldn't understand each other. The third one said, let's go up and wage war on God. And they became monkeys and shaitan. Hashem made devolution instead of evolution, where you go up from a monkey-like creature into a human being. He created monkeys from these people. Chimpanzees and orangutans and gorillas and all the monkeys all came from these people who sinned, says the Gemara. Now this isn't coincidental. It's not coincidental this happened. These people thought they were all on the same page with one another. They thought they had actus. They were working together. They planned on doing the exact same thing, but that's not the way of human beings. We all have different thought processes. The way that I think is not the way that any of you think. That's not the way we are. So when they thought they were doing it together, a tower full of achdus, the Gemara is telling us Hashem punished them by making them realize that really they're all different from one another. They all have different languages, different methods of thought, different ideas. They belong in different places. That's what happened to everybody there, and that was their punishment. Aside from that, the Mi'am Lo'ei says crazy things happened. Civil war broke out between everyone there, and they started to kill each other. 30 families were drowned by the ocean that came up with massive tidal waves to knock down the Mabul, to knock down the Migdal. Number three, people ran to the hills. They were swallowed up by a massive earthquake that opened up in the ground and they fell down to the bottom of the earth. Number four, they were scattered to countries that they had never seen before, to climates that they had never tested, and thus they got very, very sick. Number five, we already spoke about devolution and them becoming monkeys. And number six, there was no possibility of tshuva for anyone in this generation. Anyone in the generation. But all these answers were laughed at by the people that lived in Eretz Yisrael. All the answers that were given in the Gemara, they were laughed at. Because they said, if they really wanted to fight Hashem, why would you make a tower in a valley? Where should you build the tower? In the highest mountain. Wouldn't that be simpler? Why would you do that? So I think it's a very simple answer to the Gemara. Let's get around. I mean, that's one. I would say it's even simpler than that. If you're going to make a tower that big, you need a massive base. I would assume the valley was meant to be the base of the tower. That's what it was supposed to be, and that's the reason why they made it in the valley. I think that's obvious, but that's that. But what did they do wrong exactly? I understand, okay, so they fought like that, but what exactly from the psukim, it doesn't seem to say any of this stuff. How do we get it from the psukim itself? So the Rashbam says, they were commanded by God after Noah to spread out and be fruitful and multiply. What did these guys want to do? They wanted to go in and everybody get together. The Sforno says they would have all followed one leader, Nimrod. And if they all follow one leader, if the leader was good, then they'd all be good. But if the leader is Nimrod, then they're all going to be bad. The Ibn Ezra, the Minchas Yehuda, and the Or HaChaim say something very, very similar. Their intention was to live in one area together. And you know what the tower was for? It was a sign for everyone to find their way back. It was like a little flag in the sky. You want to get your way back. If you went too far away, you'll always know where the center of town is. That's what the tower was there for. The problem was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world to be settled, not just one area, because he was worried. If there'd be one disease that went through, one disease, it would wipe out everybody in the world. Everybody would be dead. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worrying about. There's a Kabbalistic concept here as well that the Or HaChaim brings up that I don't get exactly. Rav Schwab says that they thought they could take care of everything themselves. They didn't even have to ask God anymore. If we have our own tower and our own city and our own thing, we don't have to ask God. So Hashem made it that they'd always need His help. That's that. And those are the main things. But now let's get into the weird answers. The weird answers as to what Migdal Babel was and what exactly is going on. The Kli Yakar says something amazing over here. He says something very simple and very much to the point. Their plan was to stay in one area. Why? They wanted to be together. They said, listen, we all work together. We all know each other's language. We like each other, right? So how about we all stay in one area? We all stay in one area, and we hang out together. We'll make one leader, one democratic leader, and then everything will be all good. The people agreed with it. But God said, no way. Now, what's the problem with doing that? He said the following. He said, listen, at some point, someone's going to get up, and he's going to get angry. And when he gets angry, he's going to argue with the leader who's in charge, and there's going to be a massive civil war. Now, if you have a civil war, right, or some type of a war between one country and another country, you'll have a lot of survivors. Why? Why? You're too far apart, so you're going to meet in the middle, which means everyone in the middle might die, but the people in this country and the people in that country will still live. But if the war is in one place, and everyone's together in one place, and they're all in there, and there's nowhere else in the world for them to go, then it's going to be devastatingly catastrophic. everyone's going to die, says the Kliyakar. So you can't have it. It's going to happen that you're going to fight, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to fight with each other. It's going to happen. You're going to have arguments with the leader. And when it does happen, I don't want it to be that catastrophic. Therefore, separate, so when the war happens, not as many people will be killed. Not as many people are going to be killed. The problems, I mean, I don't want to give examples of stuff like this because I don't have historical, you know, information on this. But the Civil War did not kill anywhere near as many people as World War I and World War II. Why? Because World War II, it was armies on the move. You're going from one place to the next place to the next place to the next place, and you're fighting and going into other countries and fighting them in their countries, which meant that there was more devastation because there were so many people going from one place to the other. What are you going to say, Dave?
That's the reason why.
Why?
World War I and World War II were the most...
What technology?
I was going to say that also.
It's obvious you're right. That technology obviously allowed things to go a lot quicker. That's without a question obvious. But I think it was more so because of those technological advancements, they were able to go into the next country. It wasn't fighting in the fields anymore. It wasn't the Battle of Luxembourg. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the Battle of Kensington. There wasn't a battle in like an open field or an area where there were no cities. The battles were in the city. They were there, and that's what I mean by it. The technological advancements meant that you could kill everyone in the cities itself, and that's what ended up happening over here. I think that's one of the reasons why, but that's that. But we have to get a little bit crazier, and we're going to have to go through. The Yalkut Ruveni quotes a sefer called the Bris Menucha. The Bris Menucha was written by Makubal. He says the following: all the people that were alive at the time of Migdal Babel were very wise people. They knew all the secrets about creation, how creation worked, and how to make things by just saying names of God or by using the names of the Shadim. They all knew how to do this stuff. These guys wanted to fulfill their desires. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, you know, do what they wanted, Arias-wise, Shichus Damim-wise, Gaza-wise. They wanted to do whatever they wanted. They wanted to do whatever they wanted. But they were worried that if they did so, then a Mabel would come. They would be destroyed. So what did they do? They made a tower. They made a tower that would be impervious to fire and flood. That whenever they would go inside, fire wouldn't be able to hurt it because it was made out of a certain type of brick that wouldn't be affected by fire. That's the idea of making the bricks in the fire. They made bricks that would withstand any fire that would go up against it. And they made it in a place so that water wouldn't affect them. And that's why they made it in the valley. They made it in the valley so that the water would come all the way down. No matter how much water was there, they would still be higher and higher from that area. If they made it on a mountain, right? If they made it on a mountain, then it's possible the water will just keep going up and be able to get them. But making it in the valley, the water will go down and down, sink into the ground, and eventually either evaporate or sink more into the ground so that they would be above everything. And that was their idea of how they wanted to do it. They thought that that would be fine. They brought weapons on it so that if there would be any problem with anyone who would attack them, they would have weapons there for it. And then they made a tzelem. This was not an idol. It was a statue that they put wings on. They put wings on, and they gave it a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and allowed it to fly around the entire tower. What was the purpose of it? To attack any demons, any shadim that would be coming near them from the Sitra Achra, from the side of Tumah. If any Shadim wanted to destroy it, they had this little Tselem that was a little guardian angel that was going around the entire tower the whole time, fighting anyone they could find, destroying anything that would be up against them. That's what they did. So the Malachi Mashkes, the demons, wouldn't be able to fight them either. They did all this because they were afraid of the Mabel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were only doing it in order to fulfill their desires, so he took the tzelem, threw it down to the ground, and then cut the tower in half. Literally cut down the tower in half. And showed them, I don't need fire, I don't need water, I can destroy things by just looking at them. That's the idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show them, and that's what they were mistaken on when they got up there. But I've got more. The Medrash tells us they built this tower very, very high. Ready for this? The Sofei Tevis of Ir Migdal Nerosha is Resh Lamed Vav, 236, because the tower was 2.36 billion parsas up in the sky. to give you a hint, that is about 5 billion miles high. It's way into space.
Wait, hold on. So they were trying to wage war in heaven. Does
yeah.
that mean that heaven essentially is 5 billion miles from Earth?
They didn't get up that far.
They
tried. They tried to go as far as they could. I don't understand that metrish bichlal. Okay, it's got to be an exaggeration of some point. Because 5 billion miles, there's no way they're going to be able to breathe. Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, 90 million to the sun.
90 million to the sun. So if we're talking about 5 billion miles, 5 billion miles, you're getting out to Neptune, Uranus, Neptune, maybe even, I know Pluto's not a planet anymore, but possibly, let's just understand it as something a little bit simpler, but still unbelievably extreme. Ready for this? This is it. Their plan was to take them to the moon. To get to the moon and live on the moon if they needed to live there. It was mentioned by the Seder Adoros. This is crazy. That was the first group going up above to live on the moon. But why would they do that? Listen to this, Reb Yonis and Eibschitz, you're going to go crazy. It's Ferris Yonason. Reb Yonis and Eibschitz asked a bunch of sharp questions. Were they such idiots that they really thought that they could go up to the heavens to fight God? Did they really think that they would be able to fight God? How big of a base would you need to get all the way up, all the way into the heavens? Why would they do that? So don't be fooled, Rabbi Yonason says. They were brilliant people. They realized something. The Mabul happened from rain, correct? Now, they saw with their very own eyes. How does rain fall? From rain clouds. They knew that rain evaporates. There's water on the ground that evaporates into the sky. It becomes vapor and clouds, and eventually those clouds bring their rain down to the earth. They understood that. They had no problem with that. Our airplanes can get above the clouds. So they assumed, if we get above the clouds, then we won't have any problem. If we're above rain clouds, then we won't have any issues. We'll be able to live in an area where there's no possibility of a marble. That was their idea. Let's go further than that area over there. But the problem was, wait a second. If we go up there, where are we going to live? We can't make huge buildings in the sky. We can only make a tower. So what are we going to do? Where do we have as a place to live if we get up into the heavens? Where are we going to live? What, are we going to make huge towers one after the other after the other? Well, what are we going to do? It's going to be a domino effect. One goes down, all the others come with it. What are we going to do with it? So they had another plan. Their plan was to build a tower that would be above the clouds. If it started to rain, they would do the following. They looked at this and they said the following. There are air pockets that go up from the ground to the sky. Wind that flies up from one place to the other. Their assumption was that if it starts down here, then certainly it reaches up into the heavens as well, and it goes further even past the clouds. And their proof to that was simple. They looked up in the heavens and they saw the clouds are moving. How do clouds move? From wind. So there's wind up there. Not only does wind go this way and that way, wind probably also goes up. So here's what they planned on doing. We're going to make a massive ship that will be unaffected by gravity, the gravitational pull of the earth. We're going to put it up in the heavens above the clouds. That's where the ship is going to be. There's going to be a launching pad. The launching pad will be on the tower. And when there's a huge mabul and we have to live somewhere else, we'll all go into the tower, climb up to the top above the rain, go into the ship, push off, and steer ourselves to the moon. That's what they wanted to do. The Migdal Bavel, says Rabbi Yonis and Eibschitz, was a launching pad for a massive ship to take them to the moon. And they figured, just like there's water down here, there's water in the heavens. Space would be the water of the heavens. And as soon as they got up there, they would be able to find their way through. Now, technically, that's true. When you're up in the heavens, every action has a reaction. You go like that, and you start pushing off that way. Right? You go like that, you start pushing off that way. They knew there's a way of letting it work. If there's no atmospheric pressure, if there's no gravitational pull, they could do this. And they thought they could go as far as they possibly could.
Did you realize that there's no air up there?
I don't think they knew that.
Like,
I think it's impossible.
Pressure like would cause them to explode.
Yeah, just remember, by the way, this is Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz, who lived in the early 1700s, who's talking about landing on the moon. One of the, you should know, by the way, in his piece, he goes through and he says, if you shoot a bullet up into the sky, you don't see the bullet fall. Why is that? Because once it gets past the clouds, there's no gravitational pull, which allows it to float up into the heavens. Now, you should know that, what's that TV show that my dad loves? Mythbusters did it, and they said, it does fall. The bullet does fall. It just comes down in a different area, and whatever it is, but it does fall. But however Rabbi Yonis understood it, maybe there's something. His idea was that if you get past a certain point, you'll be able to just fly up into the heavens. So Rabbi Yonis actually says they wanted to make a spaceship. And Rabbi Yonison's line was that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I want you to live here, not on the moon. I don't want you to live on the moon. I don't want you to have space, I don't know, what are space homes? I don't want you to have space, what are they called? Well, what do they want to build? Space stations. I don't want you to have that. I want you living here. I don't want you to go anywhere else. I don't want to say that right now. This Rabbi Yonis is actually a shot of what the Torah Migdal's problem was. It was all space travel. Space travel, and that was their problem. Never heard that before, right? That's an awesome Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz. Yeah, it was there. But the Netziv, oh, very unique. Very unique way of looking at this problem. Very unique. Remember where the Netziv lived, okay? He lived in Russia. In the mid-1800s, the Reb Naftali Tzvimi Berlin. If you want to see this piece in a somewhat of a more concise form, Reb Matis Weinberg, the son of Reb Yaakov Weinberg, the brother of Reb Noach Weinberg, the nephew of Reb Noach Weinberg from Aish. So Reb Matis Weinberg has a piece on this in his book Frameworks, but I'm not telling you whether you should or not shouldn't read that book. It's an interesting book, but it's a very, very interesting piece. But the Netziv says it. He says that the people wanted this to be the only city. And they made a police force so that no one would go outside the walls of the city. You left the walls of the city and the police force would beat you. Everybody had to think the same way and do the same thing. Everyone had to be that way. And that is why they had a massive brick oven. You know why I had the brick oven? Not just to build a massive tower. Not just for that. They built it to be a kikshan ha'esh. That was the kiln that they threw Avram Avinu into. This was the area of Ur Kasdim in Babel, where they made the Tower of Babel, and they killed anyone who wasn't like them. If you're not like us, you're dead. And they threw Avraham Avinu into the kitchen ha'esh. That's what they wanted. They wanted to have Devarim Achadim, everybody together doing the same thing. It was the predecessor, or the idea, behind communism. Everybody's the same. Everybody works together. Everybody's going to do things together. And the tower, has anybody here read 1984? George Orwell's? Yes. The tower was Big Brother. The tower was where people stood inside the windows looking out to see if people were deviating from the normal spectrum. Were people doing their own thing, or were they following the party line? Were they towing the party line? And when people didn't do it, they threatened them with death. They threatened them by beating them. They brought them into the tower and made them listen again to what they were.
Bubble is North Korea.
Bubble is North Korea. It's communist Russia. It's China. However you want to call it, that's what it was. This was the idea, yeah.
This is all because of the model, essentially. Right?
This approach is not. This approach was that they just wanted to be together.
They're trying to create activists, and I don't understand. I mean, who's, is it one person or is it a collection of people?
It was a collection of people led by Nimrod who wanted to make Achdus. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want it to work that way. It's not what the world is all about. We're not about everybody staying the same way. It's talking about working everybody together. You're late.
Yeah.
Where did what? Avraham Avinu eventually left the city. The tower was destroyed after the Kishon Nation. So eventually went to Haran. He made a whole new program. And there may have been individuals in other places, but this was the main place where all the people were. That's what it was. The whole idea of the Kivshana Esh, of 1984, of the idea of communism, comes from Migdal Babel. Now we're going to end with this. We have a Mea Shiloach and Ishbitzer. He says, originally when Hashem told Noach he was about to destroy the world, Noach did not daven for them. That was his biggest problem. He didn't daven for the people. He should have. He never did. Now that upset God. After the Mabul was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the way people look at things. He put it in people's hearts to care about their fellow man. Before the Mabul, it was very selfish. Work on yourself. And you could care about your fellow man, but that wasn't what the world was. It was more of an individualistic approach. After the Mabul, people started to be together with one another. That led eventually to the Achdus of Migdal Babel. It eventually led for that. This is why Avram Avinu davened for Sodom, people that he never knew, even though they were sinners. This is why Bnei Yisrael were davened for by Moshe Rabbeinu, even though they were sinners. Nonetheless, Moshe felt a camaraderie with Bnei Yisrael, and it's automatically there. We feel it. You feel that when somebody needs Tehillim, you're willing to say Tehillim for him. We feel it, even if we don't mean to. And other people have this as well. We feel a camaraderie toward other people that we got since the Mabul itself. So that led to the Migdal, in which everybody's together and we're all around. Now, what's the problem with that? The Beis HaMikdash was the same way. The Beis HaMikdash is a Migdal in the middle of the land where everybody should gather together and find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why was the Migdal any different? Says the Me'ashi Loch, here's the difference. Where was the Beis HaMikdash made? Where did they put the Beis HaMikdash? In what area of Eretz Yisrael? But on top of what? Hara Moriah, a mountain of Moriah. Where was this tower made? In a valley. He says, it's not that it literally was in a valley. That's not what you're trying to learn from it. The Pasuk is pointing out to you that this was their intentions. The difference was the mountain or the intention. The Beis HaMikdash was on the highest point where they were on top of the world, so to speak, so that they'd be as close as they could to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as close as they could to the heavens above. And that's why it was a place where you could get closer and you could find some type of a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the point of the Beis HaMikdash being on top of the mountain. That's why it was there. Migdal Babel, however, was not for that reason. It was in a valley. It was specifically down on the ground, as far down as it was, because they were only thinking about themselves. Granted, it was about all the people, but they didn't want that connection with Hashem. It was a disconnect from Hashem. They put it as far down into Gashmias as they could to be able to stay farther away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had Achdus, but it was Achdus for the wrong reasons, for physical, Gashmi reasons, not for spiritual, lofty approaches. And that's the reason why the Migdal was different from the Beis HaMikdash, and that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. He wants a Migdal, but he wants a Migdal in the right place, for the right reasons. That's the problem with these people over here, and that's why it was destroyed. So let's chazor a little bit.
But that doesn't really make any sense, because Avraham Avinu was the person that cared about everybody else, and that's the whole point that he brought the status of the world back up to where...
Agreed. After the Mabul, people started loving each other. After the Mabul.
But wouldn't this take away from Avraham if you say that, Avraham only was able to do that because God put that into the world?
No, it's not taking away. He was utilizing it to the fullest extent. Everybody has it, but nobody utilizes it the way that Avraham did it. That's the idea. Avraham used his kokos as well as any human being could have ever done it. Nobody could have done it the way that Avraham did it, and that makes him a little bit different. That I don't think that's going against him. That's okay. That's between them.
The people who make up Avraham used it also to the
fullest extent, but for physical reasons and not for gaining, the right thoughts of a Kadosh Baruch
Hu. It's almost like it almost contradicts itself. Is it for selfish reasons? I'm doing this, I'm working with you for my own benefit?
No. It's camaraderie with everyone, but for everyone to be more Gashmi together. For everyone to go together. I hate to compare, and I don't mean to knock this down, but we're in football season, right? Everybody's going to a football game not to find themselves closer to God, but to get themselves as close as they can to Jay Cutler. That's what they're doing. It's just not... That's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. He doesn't want you getting together for that reason. He wants you getting together for the right reasons, to speak to God, to have things. I'm not saying don't go to a football game. I am. But I'm not saying that's not the point. But that's the concept. The concept is that there's a reason to get together and a reason why not to get together. But that was the idea of Migdal Babel, guys. We have given 8 reasons as to why Migdal Babel was not the right thing to do. That's our idea for today. But the crazier ones were Rabbi Yonis and Eichitz, the Bris Menucha. Remember, Rabbi Yonis and Eichitz says it was a launching pad with a spaceship, and Nitziv said it was communism. The Bris Menucha said that it was a tower with a little statue going around, running over, you know, killing all demons. And they said the Me'ah Shiloach, that the difference between this and the Beis HaMikdash was on a mountain versus down in a valley. Stop with that, guys. Have a good show.